Good morning. Just take it all in for a second here. see who's here and see what I need to leave out of the message. No, I'm kidding. Grab the music stand. Should I be over there? Yeah. God loves you. So now what? Another title that I was contemplating was, where are you at? But I didn't think that would read as well. So, but I think that's the context of the message today is exactly that. Where are you at? And in light of the excitement or the attention to, you know, the fall season and the school and all that kind of thing, it's interesting, and I think it's good at times to just stop for a moment and take inventory as to where we're at in our relationship with God, and then take action appropriately as God leads. And that's been my story. I don't know where you're at this morning, but just know that God does love you and desires great things for you. He tells us that he has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, a plan to give us hope and a future, and you'll find that he's faithful. This morning, it won't be an expository message. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 12. I'll read the entire chapter a little bit later on. But I wanted to ask an opening question, and before I do that, I want to encourage us to answer honestly. How many of us as students are really excited about going back to school on Tuesday? I see one, two, three, four, five, about a half a dozen. What's the average age about those that raise their hands? Probably 10 and under, maybe 12 and under. I know there's one in my family, she's very, very excited to go back to school. And it's quite interesting to look at that kind of exuberance. We heard earlier from Peter about children praising God. We're told that children have to have childlike faith. There's something unique and special about looking at life through the eyes of children. And often we, as adults, take ourselves far too seriously, and we lose the joy that God is hoping that we'll grasp. So my guess is that there are a number of us gathered here this morning that are excited about a new job. You don't have to put up your hand. But new jobs are exciting. I know of a couple in particular that are starting something new or have already. And so what is it about new things, and here there's a few of us that are celebrating the start of school. It's new. It's exciting. Sometimes maybe it's intimidating, the new thing that's coming. And perhaps one of the reasons that we get these butterflies or emotions wrapped up in our stomachs is simply because there are unknowns. We're not sure. And unknowns can do a number of things. Often, when we're not sure, we can become afraid if it's entirely unknown, right? But often if it's new, we've heard good things about it, or we know that it's going to be good coming, lots of excitement about it. So simply because it's new often is enough reason for all kinds of anticipation and excitement. And so some of us maybe view purchasing a new vehicle simply as a utilitarian thing, where vehicles serve a purpose and they don't spend much time or energy toward them. And some of you may know this, but my very first car as a teenager was a brand new car. And I consider myself rather fortunate to have been able to do that. Dad was gracious enough to co-sign. And within a few years, I had this 1994 Sunbird SE with most of the GT options, the sunroof. Had it paid off in a couple years. So I was very, very fortunate to have that experience. It was new, And wouldn't you know it? It needed to be washed at least twice a week and shined up. And, you know, you get the spray to make the black look blacker and the rims look shinier. And spent a lot of time and a lot of water washing this car. And only to realize that it was, it was only a few years afterwards that it was just steel and rubber and wires and copper. It is neat to have a new vehicle, and yet you always need to allow perspective to come after that newness wears off. Oh, it was aqua was the color. So it was all, it was all about a few weeks, and here I was in the garage pulling the stereo out of the car, and in walks Dad, and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm replacing the stereo." "What's wrong with the other one? What's wrong with it? What happened?" "Oh, no, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I just wanted something better." And it's interesting how this many years later, I kind of understand him a little more. Where, not everything that you want needs to be done right now. But again, there was something about the new, the better, you know, this chasing after things. And in his perspective, you can imagine how difficult it was for him to appreciate that kind of thing, having moved his family all the way back from 1965 from Mexico to southern Ontario, looking for better economic means and a future for his family. He spent a great deal of his adult life concerned with financial stability, and here his youngest of 8 children could not be content with a stereo that was in a brand new vehicle he had recently purchased. So I can appreciate his concern. So how many of us can identify with the emotions of a new relationship? There's the sealing of the deal happening to this afternoon for a young couple. That's exciting. It's awesome. It's the way God intended it, was that man and woman marry and spend their lives together. The beginning of a new relationship. Someone catches your eyes, and they're all that in a bag of chips. We spent countless hours dreaming about what life would be like with this person, how glorious it's going to be once we're married, life begins together. We spend as much time together with this person as much as possible, sharing life, talking, and perhaps even making plans together for the future. It's awesome. The beginning and the ending of our human relationships are some of the most powerful experiences we will encounter on the face of this earth. Human connections. Sometimes we end a relationship by choice. It doesn't seem to be working out. And sometimes our loved ones are taken from us. We struggle to understand why. How long have you been married? Not everybody in here is married. Some of us are newer on this journey, perhaps less than a few years. There are still signs of love for each other, being strong and healthy. Some are further along, perhaps 10 or 11 or 12 or 13 years. You need some background, right? I know 11 isn't how you say it. But that's what you discover when we do a fishing trip on men's ministry, is that that actually with the way we've been growing up, learning how to count, it's wrong. So it goes from 10 to 11, 12, and 13. Just so you know. I trust that a number of you can identify with me how our relationship with the Lord Jesus changes over time, as do our human relationships. So we begin a human relationship, whether it's perhaps it's even just a working relationship where somebody comes on as a team member, and it's somewhat on the surface, superficial to some degree, but there's a lot of anticipation of things going fairly well, and we often overlook a lot of things early on that later on really, really bug us about that person. And the one way I've heard about it is when you begin that relationship with a significant other, keep your eyes wide open. And when you're married, you should probably close them a little bit sometimes. I think it's necessary to do that, to overlook some of the things that later on we might find hard to appreciate. But the beginning of a human relationship, the excitement is new. Here's a new venture. From an old country song. My hands are sweaty, my knees are weak, I can't eat, I can't sleep. How's the rest of it go? Do you know? It sounds like love's got a hold on you. That's how it goes. Yeah, okay, I'm older. But all those physical signs of those emotions inside are very apparent. And sometimes it even affects our ability to hold food down. So the beginnings are exciting. They're sort of then you begin into the steps sort of familiarity. We begin to become used to each other. And then the necessary maturing and the muting of some of our emotions. I do think that it's necessary that we kind of land and come to earth with some of those emotions. So that the depth and the resilience of that relationship can grow. But then the risk of complacency is there. The potential for taking things for granted. And I think these are some of the cycles that perhaps you can identify with as well. And not just necessarily in a dating or a marriage relationship, but in our human relationships. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read the chapter. In reality, the chapter is written in such a way where it doesn't need a lot of expounding, but there's a lot of things there that we can mine. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Thank you, God, for your word this morning. Thank you for the reading from Philippians as well. Reminder about perspective. God, ask that you would give us a soft heart as we not only listen in this morning, lean into you, but also when we get up from this place, God, that we ask that you would give us a heart that is inclined to do what you're asking. Amen. So the earlier reading from Philippians 2 captures the essence of a great relationship. Being honest and realistic in the interpretation of who we are, remembering the price that Christ paid for our redemption, and thinking and treating others as those made in the image of God. It's a pretty big paraphrase of that section, but Romans 12 has been one of those passages that I've either returned to or been reminded of time and again. If I'm wrestling with what is next in life, perhaps there's a proverbial fork in the road. Remembering that God's will becomes apparent as we serve and love those around us helps bring perspective. So let me repeat that. Remembering that God's will becomes apparent as we serve, allowing transformation to happen, and as we serve and love those around us, and it helps bring perspective. I may have shared this in the past, but I've been asked on a number of occasions about decisions to go to Bible school, decisions about moving here, life decisions. How did you know? And by and large, I've often responded, I didn't know. I didn't know for certain. I chose to go with an inkling, with what seemed right, with what felt like God was asking us to do. And I'm not sure how else to take a step of faith, right? I think sometimes we think ourselves into a stopped position. We're so concerned about getting it right and about doing God's will that we stop moving. And so my response to those kinds of questions often has been, well, what are you doing? Well, what's God's will for my life? Oh, I don't know, but are you doing things that would be honoring to God? whether it's serving in the church or going to Bible school or taking the next position at work or a different position at a different workplace, sometimes we overthink it. And the reality is God expects that whatever it is that we choose to do, that we're going to do it to His glory and as though we're doing it for Him. And so I don't want to give the impression about being flippant with some of these life-changing decisions, but the reality is God does give us the capacity, the mental capacity, to make these decisions and these choices. It's definitely good to reach out and to get some counsel, but especially when it comes to, you know, when you feel the nudge to either towards ministry or Bible school, those kinds of things. Keep busy doing good things. So when I've become complacent or perhaps lethargic in my walk with God, I'm called to remember to be transformed, to be made new again. That might be from the Department of Redundancy Department. But we need to be made new again. The allure and the pull of the distractions around me don't offer the lasting fulfillment that I need, and sometimes the lasting fulfillment that I hope for. When I remember my identity in Christ as His forgiven Son, my hope and resilience is bolstered. There are a number of things that we can do in a relationship that fosters depth and maturity. Negligence, robs relationships of their potential. And that includes our relationship with God. One of the ways our relationship with our Heavenly Father is nurtured is the gathering of the saints. This is what we're doing here this morning. We've gathered together. I think when we come, we expect that we're going to hear something from Him. And by and large, we do. And hence, back to the title, right? So now what? God loves you. So now what? I think the expectation, that God has from us is that when we gather together, we go and we live that, right? And we come back, and then we confess to God, whether it's coming back on a Sunday or we come back to Him throughout the week, and we tell Him, I didn't do that great. I'm sorry. And He forgives us. And then the expectation is that we act on that. And then we go try. And so it's not a works thing where we have to please Him in order to gain acceptance. We've been accepted, and now that response is to please Him. And He's our cheerleader. Our coming together as the body of Christ to learn about Him together is a necessary part of keeping the relationship healthy and growing. I'm privileged most times to work alongside Tony and David and the men's ministry committee. And so we work together and we wonder how God is going to use us to impact those around us, to inspire other men to lead in their families, workplaces, and in the community where they live. I'll confess to you that I'm looking forward to the start of men's Sunday school class, along with helping Peter Jansen's class as well as a sub. And part of that reason is simply because if I don't stay plugged in, my relationship with God suffers. I need that accountability that is offered by being expected to come and bring something. And so I don't know if that's because I'm a bad person and that I'm not nearly as self-motivated as I would like to think I am. It's also something that I've learned over the years. I need the accountability that other people around me offer and their expectations. The dashing of their expectations is what I often need to stay motivated. I don't know if that's the best motivator, but I think for me that's one of them. That's one of the motivators, is I don't like disappointing people. And especially when my efforts have been misinterpreted and somebody turns around and gets offended by an act of kindness or something that I've tried to do on somebody's behalf, it really, really goes deep because I was trying my best. And so to also learn to give that to God, and those disappointments. So I do need that. I need the accountability that people's expectations bring in order for my relationship to God to stay connected. And so I need to be a part of the church. I need to stay involved. I suspect that I'm not all that unique like that. And sometimes when we've created a fair bit of distance with church involvement, our relationship with our Heavenly Father declines. And so my devotional and prayer life isn't where it should be. And I trust by confessing this to you, it'll help you to be real with God as well and where you're at with Him. I need the accountability that confession offers. If you're in a similar place, then I invite you to be intentional about your next steps. I also don't think we should take it for granted that each person in this place has made a conscious choice to be a follower after God. I'd like to think that there's something unique about La Crete Christian Fellowship where at times we end up getting people that are curious as to what's going on. That there's enough intrigue and earlier in that song about standing before a judge and, mercy came. And so I've heard it in the past where, you know, if you were to be pulled before the courts, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? And that's really kind of a harsh way to look at it. It's highly convicting. but sometimes that's what we need, is to wonder if there's enough about my daily life that somebody could point the finger and say, yeah, he's a God person. He's a follower of Jesus. I hope that's the story for my, that's, I hope that's my witness and testimony, is that people will have seen that I spend time with God. So if that is you this morning, where you perhaps have never made that conscious decision to follow Jesus, my encouragement is that you would consider coming to the saving knowledge of God. Repent of your sinful condition and accept the forgiveness that God has offered to us through the shed blood of his Son Jesus on the cross. And by doing so, we embark on a journey together with the God who created us, discovering his will for us as we become transformed into his likeness. Romans 12 will be the scriptural path for the men's Sunday school class. That's what we'll be studying. The Help a Study guide from Chip Ingram called True Spirituality. So I think Dave Schellenberg will be leading that for the most part, but we'll help out and jump in on the way. We will also come together for a men's night. Last season, we were doing that last Wednesday of the month. We're going to try the last Tuesday of each month to try to accommodate a few more of the men who have expressed interest in coming. And so last Tuesday of each month, we've created an opportunity at the center next to Home Hardware for some fun fellowship time around the pool table, ping pong, hockey games, on the screen, that kind of thing, simply to stay connected socially, a safe place to invite your friends to as well. And now I'm going to be told what's all going on Tuesday nights that doesn't work for the rest of them, right? But we'll keep making those efforts. We're looking into the possibility of another skeet shoot, perhaps this month yet, and Promise Keepers in Grand Prairie end of October with the planning help of Larry Neufeld and Russell Peters. I wanted to be intentional about plugging men's ministry opportunities, largely because it seems to be a neglected area in most of our churches. Most of our evangelical churches develop really good Sunday school programs and women's ministry and all that kind of stuff. But I think men are hard to motivate. We need that sometimes, but sometimes our pride gets in the way. And who are you? Who are you to tell me? I'm my own man. But I think the reality is that that each of us needs a nudge. Sometimes the nudge from our wives' elbows are good and right. But very often, a nudge from the Holy Spirit, way more effective. Just saying. I love you, Lena. I promise. But I thought it was appropriate to give a little bit of attention to men's ministry. Timing seemed right, and we've been intentional from the spring to just create an opportunity to begin to develop what men's ministry could look like in this church. Not assuming that we've got it figured out as a committee, or that we're all going to be doing all of it. We're hoping that we can be that conduit or to help facilitate what it is that the needs are in men's ministry here in La Crete. So we aspire to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, discovering God's good, pleasing, and perfect will as we go. Let's pray in closing. God, our Creator and Redeemer, we've gathered again before you and ask that you would do a mighty work in this fellowship of believers. We recognize how easily we are tempted into complacency in our walk with you, and we ask for your forgiveness in this. We ask for your empowerment as a new fall season unfolds before us. Give us clarity of mind and resilience of our wills to pursue you with everything that you have given us. Help us through your Holy Spirit to help to hold the things that we have from you with an open hand, so that we might be useful in your kingdom in ways that we could never even have imagined. Thank you for the death of your Son Jesus on the cross. He made a way to be restored in our relationship with you by the shedding of his blood. Thank you for the ability to have faith and the calling that you have on each of us to partner with you as we walk shoulder to shoulder with those you put around us. Help us as La Crete Christian Fellowship to be united in our purpose to exalt you in all that we do. For yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.